If you have the thing with the phone, it could, you should have gotten something that was sent from Moshe David. I hope we'll get to that, musician. Thank you. We began the first Torah in Oros HaKodesh. We're at the middle of the page. Chochmas HaKodesh HaPoelos. We're learning how Chochmas HaKodesh, the Chochma of Torah, is different from all other Chochmas of the world. The Chochmas of the world are passive, and the Chochmas HaKodesh is active. That's what Rav Kook is explaining in this Torah. We were talking a little bit about Chochma Chitzaynis, external, secular Chochma, as opposed to internal Chochma of Pnimius. The Nafke Mina, as far as how is that different, aside from the obvious difference in the curriculum, but Lemaisa, what does that mean, active Chochma as opposed to passive Chochma? So that's what we're going to talk about more now. So in the middle of the page, where you see where it says V'tam HaDavar Hu, Tam HaDavar, everybody have it? V'tam HaDavar Hu, ki kol inyoni HaKodesh mimkor chayi ha-chayim heim boim. What Rav Kook is explaining is, why is it that Chochmas HaKodesh has this effect upon a person who learns it with the right intention? That Chochmas HaKodesh changes a person's life. The Chochmas HaKodesh draws a person into the words, into the teachings, not just as a matter, as we were discussing last week, as a matter of seichel, of the intellect, something new that I've learned, something that I now understand that I didn't understand before. Chochmas HaKodesh is active because it's alive. Because what Rav Kook is saying is, the definition of Kedusha is kol inyoni HaKodesh mimkor chaya chayim heim boim. All inyonim of Kodesh, of Kedusha, come to us directly, Mimkor Chai Yachayim Heim Boim. Mimkor Chai Yachayim. Everything's Hashem. Everything's from Hashem. But there are different madrigas, and there are different amounts of stops that are taken along the way, and different amounts, different levels of tzimtzumim and so on. The same way that a person can drink water directly from the well, directly from the river, a person can drink from a sink someplace in a basement in East New York, you know, with pipes that may be from a building that are 150 years old or something, and you're drinking. You could, it's coming from the same place, but when your mouth is upon the water in the place where it comes from, so you're drinking directly from Chaya Chaim Baruch Hu, you understand. You're drinking directly from the source of water. Much any kind, if you're drinking from the water, once it's gone through a million pipes, and the whole system, and it's gone through various, all kinds of rust and dirt and things that it picks up along the way. So it also comes, everything comes from the makar, from that source. But it's gone through many, many, many concealments and many tzimtzumim until it's in your cup. Akadekach, that people don't even drink, most people don't drink water from the tap anymore because of all of these tzimtzumim, and everybody, you know, pays whatever, $20 for some water or something. I'm still not sure I've figured out exactly why, how they come to those prices with water, but I'm still resisting that inyan of... But, self-kul-self, it's gone through many, many Gilgulim. until it comes into your sink, the water. So Chachmas Hachol, Chachma Chitzainis, Hashem's light is very, very, very mitzumtzam. It's very, very constricted. It's very hidden. When you're learning Chachmas HaKadosh, Chachmas HaKadosh, Kol Nyani HaKadosh Mekor Chaya Chaim Heim Boim. It's lebedik, it's alive. Chachmas HaKadosh is alive, is vibrant, it's alive. I was talking this week, I was in Chicago and I was talking to the Chevra there about something, Nagia to Elul, changing and so on. And one of the big questions that, this is a part of a much bigger conversation, but one of the big questions is that we're holding now, Baruch Hashem, it's Erev Yontif, Tavshin Pei, it's going to be soon, and it's Elul, and we're going to, Mitzvah Hashem, all of us, Slichus, and we're going to be saying all the beautiful tefillahs, and we're going to mean them, and we're going to shlo kaparis, and we're going to go for tashlich, and we're going to do all the things that Jews are required to do, and that we want to do, and we're going to hear different Torahs and different drushes, and we're going to learn things, and we're all going to, Mitzvah Hashem, be very, very connected to the time that we're in. And it's something that always bothers me. I don't know if this bothers you at all, but it always bothers me. Like, what happens by Mar Cheshvan? What happens in between, like, Sukkot and Cheshvan? It's not a long time. It's a week, right? So what happens between Shemini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, where you feel Simchas Torah, that you mamish, you know, this is it. This year is going to be Zayis Hashanah. This is going to be the most unbelievable year. It's going to be so different from any. It's going to be gevaldik, and all the hachlotis, and all of the thoughts and feelings that went into the whole yontiv and the entivement and Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, all of those things. And then, very, very often, when you look at yourself and Mar Cheshvan, sometimes it could be right after Shemini Atzeres, you don't have to wait. But when it comes to Mar Cheshvan, you look at yourself and there's Alba Mensch, you know. Pretty much the same person I was before, you know. I'm the same person like from the summer. Except now I have a sweater on, but I'm the same person. What is that? So there was a sentence that I said over there, and I tried to explain it, and it doesn't sound so good to the ears, but the sentence goes as follows. Dead people can't change. You ever see a mace? Yeah, I mean, you should know from these things. But if you see a mace, you say to the mace, you talk, Chalila, it's a bad thing, don't think of any pictures like that, but let's say you're talking to the mace, and you say, I really think it's important for you to think about changing things in your life right now. I really think that you can't go on this way. You're not accomplishing anything. Lying there like that. You're not really accomplishing anything. I really think that it's time for you to do tshuva. And you stand next to this mace and you say over like some fancy, you know, Torahs, and you say over Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam, and you're crying and you say drushes, and you walk away feeling like I really accomplished something. I think that this person has tremendous potential. And if the mace could talk, the mace would say to you, I'm dead. I don't change. Even a mace sometimes, unfortunately, I've had to be sometimes with that situation. Even a mace sometimes moves a little bit. It's scary. Sometimes there's stuff that goes on. But Sof Kol Sof, he's a mace. So it doesn't change. You understand what I'm talking about? Sounds crazy a little bit. A dead person doesn't change. It doesn't mean that you have to be biologically dead. You could be physically, you're alive. But if you're not be'emes alive, then even though you could cry by a speech, and you could cry with a machzer, and you could and you care about and you're sincere. But if there's something that has died inside of you, it's very hard to change. Now, there are many, many ways that a person can die. I'm not going to go into that right now while being alive. But what Rav Kook is saying is that Chachmas HaKadosh is unique. Is that Chachmas HaKadosh, Kol Inyani HaKadosh Mimkor Chaya Chaim Heim Boim, they come from the living source of life. They come directly, Torah comes directly from the living source of life. When you and I open up a Sefer and we learn, we are listening to, we are looking at directly the words of Divrei Elokim Chaim. Divrei Elokim Chayim Udvar Udvar Hamakeno Chayim Laad Laad, always alive, Udvar Chayim Vikayomim, Chayim Vikayomim. You can't say that about even the best short story by Mark Twain or something, Lavdal. You can't say Dvar Chayim Vikayomim. He's dead. And what he said, what he wrote, died on the paper and he wrote it. And you could like I said last week, you could read it, you could be inspired by it. But as far as its ability to change you in a real way, in a deep way, it's dead. It's not alive. That which is not alive doesn't change and can't change you in any kind of a real deep way. Chachmas HaKadosh comes even after all of these years that the Torah was given to Har Sinai. And even when we're learning this, Rav Kook is no longer alive already for a relatively short time, but it's already a while. But Dvarav Chayim V'Kayom. Dvarav Chayim V'Kayom. His words are alive and forever. It means they're forever alive. And because of that, Ki Kol Inyoni HaKadosh Mimkor Chaya Chayim Heim Boim, Miyisod ha-chayim ha-mahaves ha-kol, from the foundation of life that gives life to everything. The inyan of Hashem being alive is not just that He's alive, that Hashem gives life to everything. So Torah means connecting to the source of all life, who is giving life, who gives life. It means being directly hooked up to that metzias of Chaya Chayim Baruch Hu, of the source of life that gives life. Misod Chaim Mahavas Hakol. And because of that, Rav Kook says, V'yesh B'Koach HaToichen HaMakudash, and therefore, the Tochen HaMakudash, the holy, I don't like to use the word holy, the Toichen means the Tochen, the contents of Torah, the Toichen HaMakudash, it has the ability, it has the koach, lahavois hamon bruum le'ein tachlis. The same way we spoke about last week, that in order to create the world, Hashem looked into the Torah and He created the world. He created all worlds. He looked into the Torah. Now, we don't know what that means. It doesn't mean He looked into a book. It means that Hashem Yisbarach created the world in such a way where the Torah is the source of all life. We'll talk about that or in a second. And Torah is a direct exposure to that life of all life, the life with which Hashem creates all worlds. The koach of the holy content of Torah is to create worlds without end. It continues to create. It wasn't just that Hashem created the world back then. Hashem's constantly, every second, we spoke about this last week, is creating, and how is He creating? He's creating with the words of Torah. Machadish betuvo, b'chol yom tomid. B'chol yom means, like the Tanya says, means every instant. B'chol yom tomid, ma'ase bereishis. How? Betuvo, as I mentioned last week, ein tov ela Torah. Betuvo means with Torah. That Hashem put into the Torah his infinite being, which is the life of all life and the source of all life. Lintor Shamayim Uliyasid Aretz, that established the heavens and forms the earth. The same Chayachim that establishes every second the heavens and forms the earth, when you learn that Chochmas HaKadosh, you are absorbing that energy that creates heaven and forms earth. Therefore, v'kal v'chomer lahadbiya tzur chadasha, then certainly, if this koach of creation is in every word of Torah, which is constantly creating, all worlds are being recreated. I shouldn't use the word recreate, are being created every second through this inyan of Hashem's Torah. Then Allah has come of a kama, how much infinitely more so does it have the ability, how much more so it can it leave an imprint of a new form of life on the person who learns it. It creates Yesh Me'ayin every second. It creates universe, worlds from nothing. So what can that do for us? It certainly can change us. It's alive. Now, if it's not changing us, it's because of what I said before. It's because Nebuch, we're not alive. And it could be the afal pichein, a person can be mamish in a place where he feels that he has no life left to him, and if he throws himself into learning Torah with a munah pshuta, and he throws himself into learning Torah, it could revive him. It could bring him back to life. Because Torah is a makor chayim. It's creation mamish. But if a person's attitude about this time of the year is, I'm going to just try to be a good boy, a good girl, and do the stuff that we have to do, and I'll, a couple of tears, a couple of tefillos, a couple of minhagim, and then it's back to regular business. So there's a lo po'el kacha. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. A person has to be himself, to make himself, to want to be alive and to ask for life. And when we're asking Zachrein L'chaim, we're not asking that I want to just be alive, like a bird or a tree. They're also alive. When we're asking Kasvein B'Sefer HaChaim, we're asking for something else. Besides being physically alive, we're asking for something else. We're asking to be people who are able to connect to Divrei Elokim Chai, to the living words of God, living Torah Vashem. And that's what it means, that Teres Hashem Tamima. And we say, it's Meshivas Nafesh. It gives you back your soul. The person's a Kli and he wants, the Torah gives back the soul. Because the Torah creates. That's what the Tzaddik is saying. L'ntosh Shemayim L'Yisadar, it's Kal V'Chaymer L'Ad Bi Yitzur HaDoshim V'Vuletes Al Nefesh HaHaget. Certainly, it creates worlds every second. It certainly has the ability to change you, to change us, to leave an imprint and a new form of life. Ala nefesh ahayga. You see, it's interesting. Rav Kook doesn't say al ha'adam, the person who's learning it. He says a nefesh ahayga. It could be it's a little bit of a stretch. You could talk that way anytime. But Rav Kook is very careful with his words. And I believe that what he's saying is that it's not enough just to be a person that learns Torah. You have to be a nefesh ahoga. You have to really put yourself into learning. Whatever it is that you're learning, it should be ha-nefesh ahoga. The nefesh that's learning Torah. Not just the seichel that's learning Torah. V'chol ha-madoim shelchol, all secular wisdom, all sciences and secular wisdom, Ein behem ze hakoach. They don't have that koach. Secular wisdom is not creative. It's not active. It's passive. It's information. It's the intellect. It doesn't create worlds. It doesn't change or create worlds. Like I said last week, a person can study something, and he could read this, and it's very nice, and he could be inspired, but it doesn't have that koach of creating, of making an imprint of a new form of life. Doesn't have that koach. Again, a person who's alive takes something and he tries to use it and brings it into his, it could potentially be part of his growth, that's for sure. But, as I said last week, and we're going to learn much more about it in this maimer of Chochmas HaKadosh, it doesn't have that. It's already been through secular wisdom has been through many, many, many pipes, many, many places and stops along the way till it gets to your sink and it comes out of the book. It's been, when you read something from Shakespeare, when you read something from Shakespeare, it's beautiful. I happen to have loved his stuff. And I read everything he wrote when I was younger. But you know what kind of a messed up pipe his stuff comes through? Like every drop that came out of Shakespeare, he was a messed up guy. And even the best of the chevre, even a good guy like Mark Twain, who was a good guy, he was very, very far from being an Ish Kodesh. He is no Rashi or Ramban, you understand? It went through pipes. It's a Hishtalshlus. Everything comes from Hashem. All wisdom of the world, everything, but it's not a direct unplugged exposure to the nuclear reactor of Hashem's life, of Hashem's living being, of Hashem's life. It's not that. It's already a many, 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 many Hishtalshlus, with many, many Madregas, going down many, many places, through many pipes. Therefore, v'chol ha-madoyim shechol ein behem zakoach. Therefore, the madoyim, the sciences, and the studies of chol, ein behem zakoach. Ki heim einam mechadshim u'mecholim chadoshos mitzad atzmam. Because secular wisdom, mitzad atzmo. Again, a religious person can take the chokhmah and can see it through the eyes of Torah and so on, like many great people have done and can do. It's hard, but it certainly can be done. When medicine and science goes through the eyes of the Rambam, and the mind and the heart of the Rambam, then it's Torah, you understand? The Rambam's science is Torah. The Vilna Gaon's science is Torah. It comes through, and they connect it back to where it came from. They're able to get to the reservoir, to the rain, whatever it is, to the source. But when it comes to secular wisdom, mitzad atzma, einam echadshim mochelim chadoshes mitzad atzma, they're not able to generate something new. They're not able to create mitzad atzma. So what do they do? Now here's what the difference between chachma chitzayin and chachma pnim is. And it has to do with the definition of chachma. So what does secular knowledge, information, including poetry and art and so on, what is all of that capable of doing? Sof kol sof, it's very powerful stuff. What's it capable of doing? So Rav Kook says, Elohim mitzayrim umetzigim. Lifnei hashkofa hasichlis, es mashehu nimtza b'metzius. Secular wisdom is able to display, to portray, and to depict before the mind that which is already in reality. That which already exists, secular wisdom can depict, can display, can portray, can try to describe. The poet can describe the beauty of his beloved. He could describe that, but he can't create her. He could describe how beautiful she is. The painter, the sculptor can make a statue and a painting which is beautiful to display the beauty of his beloved. But no matter how talented he is, he can't create his beloved. He could only portray. He could only make some sort of a representation of that which already exists. But he can't bring anything into existence. That's not possible. He can't bring anything into existence. Only lefi hashkof hasichlis etz mashu nimtza b'metzius. He's able to make a beautiful painting of what already exists, and now the seichel sees this and can be very, very impressed and even inspired. Or the poet is describing something with words. You read a poem by Byron or Shelley, Wordsworth or Longfellow, those are a couple of my old favorites. You read their poems and you are in wonder how a human being can use words in such an artful, artistic way. It's amazing how a person can use words like that. It's just amazing. But Sof Kol Sof, their words are magnificent portrayals of reality. Thus is thus. That's all. But to change and to create, that it's not there. There's no such. They don't have. It doesn't have that. It's limited. And because of that, Val Kain, Eini Michelum Gam Lasa, he says, Ahoygev Hem Libri Chadasha. They can't transform the person into somebody new. They can inspire. It could maybe like an improvement or an upgrade through the inspiration, but a naya mensch, a new person, can't do such a thing. A bria chadasha. Secular wisdom is by definition, is by nature, passive, not active. And therefore it doesn't have the ability. And therefore it cannot uproot a person from the essence of his horrible midas, of his terrible attributes or midas. It can't do that. It's usually just the opposite, that those things usually intensify the negativity in a person. Not to change. It can't be oike that person from who he is, how he's been his whole life. Ulahamido b'matzav shel metzias chadasha, and to establish him in a matzav of a new metzias chadasha. That's tshuva, and that's what Chazal said. The tshuva was created before the world. All those things is before the world. Like, what does that mean? There's no time before the world. It means that it means timelessness. It means tshuva comes from a metzias that's me'ever, that's beyond. And therefore, when a person can do tshuva in such a way where he's tapping into something that's higher than the world that he's living in, and that precedes the world that he's living in, and therefore it could take him to a different world.
Aren't there books that are personal development that you can change a person?
Secular books.
Yeah,
certainly. Like I said, a person can study and be inspired and can learn from books, and over time there can be improvement in his life. But to be altogether a metzias chadasha, what tshuva is, and to uproot the No. And remember also what I said before, that when you study a book like that, or I study a book like that, we're looking at it as from people, right? So when we study those books, it's going through the filter of minds that are connected to Torah. Mm-hmm. So we connect it, not like the filter going to the Rambam, but we're just plain people. We connect it to our Yiddishkeit. And because of that, it gets a charge of Torah's Moshe, of Yiddishkeit. And then it could take you to then the secular thing that you read could be part of something much bigger of Torah, and that could take you to a different Metzius. Now you might think that, oh, I got this from that book on self-improvement, and it was helpful, and you have to be grateful and give Yashar Koach to the Mechaber, he helped you, and that's fine. But to be a new Metzius, it's only because as a firm person, it's almost impossible for you to read something like that without it going through your thoughts of a firm Jew, which are thoughts of Torah. Because that's who we are, and that's how we think. So even though you think, no, I read this interesting book on self-improvement, and you tell your friend, you know, it's changed my life. It's great. This is a great book. You should read it. Fine. The impact that it's had on you, whether you realize it or not, is a combination of what that fine person, an intelligent person wrote in that book, and how it met Taras Moshe inside of me and you. It's already something different.
But you see non-Jews or non-religious Jews that excel, and a lot of it comes from these books.
Sure. They're wonderful people. They could excel, and they could be fine people, wonderful people. But Kedusha Feldman, but not holy people. No. Even Mother Teresa. I'm sorry for all the Mother Teresa fans. I'm sorry. When I was a kid, I used to like, there was a tkufa I went through, I read every biography I could get my hands on in the library. I loved biographies. I was just fascinated by biographies. It's so crazy. I went through like a month where I read every biography in the library on composers. And I have no inyan like that with music. I just for some reason was fascinated by Beethoven and Mozart. And I went through different tkufas, every president, every scientist, even though I don't have no interest in scientists, science. I read all the biographies. So there was a certain person that I read. He was a doctor, and it was also a galachal. That I read his biography. I don't know if you remember him. You heard about him, Albert Schweitzer. You heard of him? Mm-hmm. The young people probably never heard of him. That's because you're ignoramuses. I'm just joking. I don't know, because people don't read so much anymore. But anyway, Albert Schweitzer was a very, very chashuv Eino ben Brisa, ben Noach, very chashuv ben. Menachem, he was meisa nefesh to help people, merdik person. And I was blown away by his biography. I remember feeling, I must have been 10 or 11, and I was there reading this, and my father asked him, what are you reading about? So I said, my father heard of him also. And my father asked, I said, I'm reading about Schweitzer. So my father asked him, well, I remember this conversation, so how do you like the book? So I said to my father, I was going on and on and on about Schweitzer, like what he did for these people that had tzaras, and he lived with them on the island, he exposed himself to the sicknesses, and he was such a person, a giving, caring person. And I was going on and on and on about this, and my father, this maybe shouldn't be on tape, because it's coming, you have to understand where it's coming from, it's just from a different perspective, right? My father, Zalgazon Zayin, said to me, okay, he said, Moshe, Sofkel Sofer as a guy, you understand. And like that, I was like going on for half an hour about Schweitzer. And my father says, he's not a guy, he's not a galach. He's not only, he's a little bit of a priest, a galach. So I remember arguing with my father. And in a respectful way, I said, but Daddy, he did such fantastic things. And my father said, he was a fantastic person. And he did fantastic things. And he deserves all of the admiration and respect that people give him, my father told me. But Sofkel Sof, take it easy, he said. Just don't get carried away, he said. And I remember that conversation. And I remember being annoyed about it. Like thinking like, oh, it's another thing that my father doesn't understand because he's not from here, and we now understand things. And my father doesn't understand things because he's from the other side. But the more over the years that I've learned, the more I understand what my father was saying. Even though he didn't explain it to me properly, but I understand what he was saying was that it's true improvement and it's true inspiration, and they are good people, but they're not Kedoshim. They're not Kedoshim. We have here so many imperfections, and we're all limping and tzaras, all this stuff. And we're by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're Kedoshim. We're holy. And I know that's something that does not go down well with a lot of people. Some of the people that come to learn Rav Kook, learning Aris HaKadosh, you're okay with it. But there are a lot of people out there that this does not go down well with. What do you mean? He's better than you. The conversation that I've had over the years with so many of these girls, the girl ends up going out with somebody that's not Jewish and says, I went out with 50 Jewish boys, and none of them are as nice as this guy. I'm going out with, and trying to get past my family and all the interference, and maybe I can marry this guy. And how am I supposed to? You know, I was asked by the parents to try to talk her out of it. She wants to marry a guy, and how do I explain to her? How do you explain such a thing to have this? To be sensitive to this nakuda of kedusha. Especially when she's had bad dating experiences with guys. She went out with this guy and that guy and this guy and that guy and all from guys and all different types. And the guy, you know, wasn't so sweet and wasn't so kind and wasn't so sensitive and wasn't so considerate and didn't, you know, open the door for me or shut the door on my hand or something. And whatever we do. So how do you explain that? It's a hard conversation. That's why I don't agree to do these things anymore. The someone that's going out to try to talk them out of it. It's a different kind of a conversation. It's very hard to talk about such things. It's true that they're good people, and it's true that they need to be recognized and admired for that. But the inyan of kedusha is a different inyan. Even if you don't see it on us always in a way, which is chaval, we obviously have to try to be better and to do tshuva. And we shouldn't see ourselves as people that are, if I'm misbehaving, I shouldn't see myself as somebody that's better than the person next to me just because I have the status of being a Jew. That doesn't entitle me to misbehave and to treat people in a terrible way, chas v'chalil. Not at all. In the summer in the country, my wife and I went into some place to get something for Shabbos, and there was a Hasidic girl over there, and the guy behind the counter was a Spanish guy, and the girl says to him, give me this, give me that, you know, give me a pound of coleslaw, give me a piece of coke like this, and he said, how much? She goes, what's the matter, you deaf? So I heard this, and my wife looked at me, she says, take it easy, Mosh, take it easy. So I said that, you have a choice, I said to my wife, either I talk to her, or you talk. Which do you prefer? So my wife said, I'll do it. It's either me or you, but someone's talking to this girl. So Kebaruch Hashem was my wife, and my wife was very nice to her, and she pulled her up, and she said, this fellow is a human being. Try that again. Try saying please. Try saying thank you. So she says, well, I didn't mean anything bad. Mariah said, you didn't mean anything bad. Mariah said, you're the sweetest girl. But it doesn't sound good to him. You understand? It didn't sound right to this guy. She said, why, he said something? Mariah said, no, he didn't say it. I'm standing on the side. Mariah said, no, he didn't say anything. But it's hurtful to talk like that. For a person to hear that, to be talked to like a slave or something. And then she said something, well, you know, he's just a schlepper, like, you know. So there's a re-education that's necessary. It's just a re-education. But you can't say to her, even trying to get through to her, you can't say he's an Ish Kaddish. You can say he's a sweet guy that's trying to make a living. But to say he's an Ish Kaddish, he's not an Ish Kaddish. Now one has to understand what Kedusha is. And one has to understand what does it mean in Nefesh HaLakis, in Nishmas Yisrael. I gave a bunch of shiurim years ago on the Indian of Nishmas Yisrael to understand what that is, a Nishmas Yisrael. It's never an excuse to misbehave. Adarabah, when a Jew misbehaves, it's worse. It's terrible. It's such a chilul Hashem. He's machal the Kedusha within himself. That is. But getting back to what the Tzaddik is saying here, all of the nice books on improvement and psychology and all that good stuff, if one can weed out what's good in those books, because it's mixed in a lot of times with lots of bad stuff, but if one can extract what's good, it's still not holy. It's good, and it's healthy. And if you, as a Jew, are able to use that and work it through your neshama, your nefesh, your ruach, and your nefesh, and it can help you to improve, then it's been upgraded to a shtickle Torah, and it could become something that can be part of recreating who you are. But it's not the same thing. That's what he says. When it comes to Torah, la'amidu b'masav shom mitzias chadasha, tahir v'chaya b'or achay ma'amitim. Only Torah has the ability to give you a new mitzias, and this new mitzias is tahara, pure, v'chaya, and lives b'or hachayim ha'amitim, in the light of true life. In the light of true life. Ha'omdim la'day ad. Because it's chayim v'kayamim. It's alive, not just for this minute, not just for today, not just for Tishrei, Elul and Tishrei, but in Cheshvan also. It's alive and it's forever. Chayim v'kayom. It's alive and it's forever. Now, in order to, we're going to be talking, this whole maimer is called Chachmas HaKodesh. So we're going to have to come back to this a number of times. But in order to understand really what Rav Kook is talking about here, we have to come to a little bit, at least the beginning of a little bit of a tiny bit of what the word Chachma means. So what does Chachma mean? Or let's say like this. What is the secular definition of Chachma? And what is the Torah definition of Chachma? Let's put it like that. Any ideas? No? Both sides of the Mechitza are welcomed.
Well, Torah is to elevate us so that you learn Torah. It gives us, I guess,
how do you define Chachma? Chachma. Wisdom. And how do you define...
Information that would help you grow.
Information that will help you grow. And how do the nations of the world translate? You said wisdom. So, what's the difference between chachma, when a secular or a person or a non-Jew says the word chachma? What's the difference between chachma and chachma? What does chachma mean in the secular world? What does chachma mean for a Jew that studies Torah? Don't tell me just the material is different or all. Well, what is chachma? What is, how do you define the, in English? Wisdom, okay, what is it? See, tell me a nice word.
In the Torah world, we're connected to Kedusha, to Hashem. In the secular world, it's because we've read the books, we've gone to college.
Okay, so Nisim is saying that Chachma, that's what we were learning. Nisim is saying that Chachma in the secular world means more like information. Intelligence, wisdom, information. And Chachma, Satara, is something else. Something else. Beseda. What that means is, you remember we were talking a little bit last week about Greece, right? And how the Greeks loved and appreciated beauty, and how they were obsessed with light. Remember, we spoke a little bit about Rembrandt and so on, and light, and how the Greeks and that world is obsessed with light. When the word light is being used in secular terms, it means that there is something that is enabling me to see the world, right? If it's dark in the room, I can't see the table and chairs. I can't see my friend. When there's light in the room, the light is enabling me to see the world. So, the chokhma of the Umas Ha'olam is light. The Greeks were obsessed with light and with beauty, and light of wisdom. To the extent that wisdom, I'll use the word that was translated into, and that light of the intellect and wisdom enables one to see the world. And if you see the world very, very accurately and clearly, if it's lichtig, if it's a bright day, then you can paint a beautiful flower, you could paint a beautiful building, you could paint your friend, because it's light. And when the light is shining, you could see your friend, so you can make a good painting. So the ancients were very, very preoccupied with light, with beauty, and with wisdom. The purpose of light is to, as they say in English, to bring light upon reality, and to be able, as a result of that light that is shining upon reality, to recreate or represent or portray reality in the most accurate way possible. So if it's a great painting, it's very, very accurate. It's because the painter, the artist, was able to see the subject very clearly. That's all of secular wisdom. The obsession with light is because in secular terms, the purpose of light is to convey reality to the eyes of the person who's looking at the world. That's the purpose of light. Light is a medium through which I'm able to see reality. But according to the Torah, whenever you're learning, especially when you're learning Chassidus Sfarim, you can't go one sentence without which word? Or. Right? Or. Every second word in Chassidus is Or. It's even called Or HaBal Shem Tov. Or Yerushal Mashiach. What's the difference? We use the word light in the Sfarim all the time.
It's whether this world or the world beyond.
Nachon. You hear what Shimon said? The difference is that secular wisdom, the whole purpose and point of light is to enable you to see this world. When it comes to Chochmas HaKodesh, the purpose of light is to enable you to see beyond this world. Is to enable you to see that this world is not the way that it seems. All Chochmas HaChol is to use light to be able to see the world for what it seems like it is, and to try to portray it in the most accurate way possible. Chochma Pnimis, which is especially the need of Sisrei Torah and so on, but Chochma Pnimis is not to portray the world. For that is, we have artists and poets and writers and photographers. Chochmas HaKodesh, Chochmas HaPnimis is for the purpose of peeling away the layers of the world and seeing beyond this world. That's the meaning of Chochmas HaKodesh. So when a person's given such an ability to be able to look beyond the external encasement of reality, he's able to see the life of all life. He's able to see life itself, not that which is covering and concealing life. And that's forever, because only this world is something which is temporary. The other world is forever. All of secular wisdom is to be able to see the world for what it is, and even human emotions and feelings and things and places for what they are, and to try to somehow with words or with a paintbrush or with a song, whatever, to try to give an accurate reproduction of that metzius. Chachma, the word chachma in Lashon HaKadosh means the sphere of chachma. It doesn't mean, that's not something that's seichel. It's just the opposite. It's me'evel le'seichel. It's something which is beyond. It transcends the human mind. It transcends the intellect. That's chachma. Chachma is the closest to kesa, to crown, as you understand. Chachma is just the opposite. Chachma satayra is to give you the ability to see that which the eyes can't see. All chachmas hachol is to give you the ability to see what the eyes can see. Just you're better at it. You're a better photographer, so that the picture is a better picture of that person. So now you could see every pimple on the person. The other photographer, you missed some of the pimples. You know, like when they take sometimes in the, like you'll have on the cover of Mishpacha, you'll have somebody, and they make it like so big that you have to see like the hairs that are coming out of his nose. And you figure like, oh, Lord, what's that? Like the poor guy. So it's a close-up. It's a better picture. Say that. But self-close-up, it doesn't take you to the person who the person really is. And even if the poet is writing about the emotions and feelings, it's still layers and layers, still on the surface. It's still just what he's able to paint and what he's able to see in that light. But when you learn Torah, it's something else. Be'orcha nira or. In your light, we see light. That's what it means. Be'orcha nira or. Only in your light do we see light. It's not about electricity. It's not about a sunny day. In your light, we see light. So I can look at the ugliest person, and I can see your light. I can look at the most horrible thing that I've ever been in my life, and I can see your light. A person can look at the most distressful, upsetting, and be'orcha nira'or, and to see your light. Because Hashem's light, Chochmas HaKodesh, is not a reproduction, a representation of that which human eyes see in light of the world. But that which Hashem's eyes, what we were talking about this morning, which Hashem's eyes see, and He allows us to have a peek at, which is beyond this world. That's Chochmas HaKodesh. That's the sphere of Chochma. Somebody asked me this past week, I get a lot of calls about naming children, Baruch Hashem. And I got a call. In here, you know, it's much harder with the girls with the names. The girls want such weird names. So. Most of the guys like, you know, they like Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, honestly. Most of the guys, the husbands want like regular names after their grandmothers. And the girl wants to have names. Like, wow, I never heard of such things in my life. I said, what's wrong with Rachel? Your grandmother's name is Rachel. You loved her? Yeah. She was a nice lady? Yeah. You miss her? Yeah. So why can't you call your kid Rachel? No, I want to call my kid, I had this last week, it's Ne'emana. I said, what's Ne'emana? There's a bakery in the Tachan America, he called Ne'emana. What's mean Ne'emana? I hope nobody's named Ne'emana here. I got in so much trouble over the years. So I had a girl this week, she asked me about the name. She wanted to give the name Sophia. Anybody named Sophia? You know anybody named Sophia? It's become popular now? You know people your age or little kids? Your age?
Sophia or Sophia?
So with the tzadi, I'm saying in Hebrew. Sophia. Yeah. It's a beautiful word. Mm-hmm. Oh, not. I'm talking about in Hebrew. Sophia. You're talking about Sophie? English. S. But the Hebrew name is Sophia. Okay, the Nazir, remember we were talking about last week, Rabbi David Cohen? He named his daughter Sophia. He knows Dorit Sophia. No, but he can't ask kashas on a person like that. But that's Rav Gorin's wife. That's the Rav Gorin. Rav Shlomo Gorin married the Nazir's daughter, one of the, and her name was Sophia. Sophia Halichos Beisa, right? So it is a beautiful name, Amish. It's a very beautiful name. And since we see it, Tzadik gave the name, and there are some Sephardish women have the name, so it's a holy name. The problem, I was talking to this girl, is that very often, if you have a girl, Sophia, especially if there are relatives that are not religious, and it's very easy, even with the parents, that they stop calling her what?
Sophie.
So what's wrong with the word Sophie?
It's the end.
Huh?
The end.
Sophie means the end, though, in Hebrew. No, it's not. That's not Hebrew. Sophia, right? No. Okay, so you'll look that up, you'll Google it. It has to do with light, and it has to do with wisdom. Philosophy has another word, sof. It has to do with wisdom. And it was used even Sophocles, it's used as a shame of wisdom and of enlightenment. It means enlightenment, that's what it means. And it was something that was very, very popular among the ancient Greeks. That's what the name in English, it's an adaptation of a Greek name. So I said, Sophia is beautiful, but then when it becomes Sophie, then you're connecting to something that's not outside the Kedush, okay, I tell you. You know, because you have to be careful, because you figure they're going to call it Sophie. That's just what happens to Sophia, like what's, you know, it's bound to be a Sophie. And it also means Sophie, you're right. But in itself is a beautiful name. But you know, I want to say the difference is as follows. We have a place, I'm sorry, give me another minute. We have a place in Yerushalayim that's called Har. Hatzofim, nachon? Haratzofim. Tzvas is a lashon of Tzofia, because Tzvas is the most magnificent view. But when Tzvas was called Tzvas, do you think it was because it's such beautiful mountains and such a beautiful view, or it's because it's the resting place of Chachmas HaKodesh? It's the deepest Torahs come from Tzvas. You know that. It's the place of the Ari HaKodesh. Haratzofim by Yerushalayim, it's something else. It's not just a matter of having a good view. It's being able to see things that you can't see in this world. Sfas is a place where you see things that you can't see. Sophi already means just seeing what you could see. It means enlightenment by the Greeks. It's chaval. The name in Hebrew, Sophia, is a beautiful name. But how do you keep it? Now, it's just so you could keep it, Sophia, but in America, it's going to end up being Sophie. And it might even end up being Soph. Like, if you're really friendly with her, you call her Soph. Why go the whole way? Just call her Soph. Right? But I just wanted to give you a taste in that word when we were talking to this wonderful mother to be, Mir Hashem, about the name. She didn't have yet, I think, soon. So, Sophia means something which is infinite. Mamish infinite, Sfas. But in the Greek, it means something which is finite. It's not alive. It doesn't have life. The Torah is Kim Chamakor Chayim, Be'or Chanira Or. Michal Shapiro has a beautiful song, Mitch Shem One Day. That'll be out on the next record, maybe, Mitch Hashem, on that song. Okay. We should be zeichet to see Hashem's light in every single moment of our lives. The thing that you got, we're going to do next week from the Shemona Kavatsim. You have, if you make a picture of it or have it on your phone, we'll do it next week. Shabbos. Shabbos.